Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 22nd of February. Now, is today Lincoln?
You would know. You're the
Lincoln's
guy.
Birthday or Washington's birthday? Lincoln was 12, so I think this is Washington. Yay. We haven't changed
that. Happy birthday.
Haven't changed that state's name either.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Mr. Shanahan from St. Bernard's is with us this morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Howdy, howdy. Boy, even on your semi-working week, you got the blazer on, huh?
Yeah.
Just in case somebody shows up?
Oh, people are always at the school. Come on. 24/7.
Yeah, well, security guards don't count.
Teachers, students, parent volunteers, work party. You know, at St. Bernard's, it's all about the work party. So with the transition from winter sports to spring sports, you've got the field team, the locker room team. We've got painting happening in the hallways, you know, people pushing in. So, yeah, no, there's bustling activity.
Weeding the baseball infield?
Yeah, you got it. It's looking great. Drive by, just green grass, and let's play ball.
Green grass, but can you slosh in it? Or
Bear River was nice enough. Last night we opened up with our scrimmage against Arcata High at their field, their artificial turf. So there was no sloshing on the turf last night.
Oh, way to go.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that. Yet. You ready for the question?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, let's see. Why, when there's no turning back, do we say the die is cast?
Well, because once the die is cast, you can't change it. You've poured it in. It's done. Your model is complete.
Okay, I just was waiting if there was any addendum.
Okay. No, I paused for you.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Would you like to interject there?
Yeah, throw that flashcard up one more time so I can. When you say
applause, I think it was the flashcard I was holding.
That's
up.
What I was waiting for.
Yeah.
Still. When you say the die is cast, you're quoting Julius Caesar. Well, you're nodding your head like you knew that.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on.
All right. In 49 BC, the Roman general stood and thought long before crossing the Rubicon into Italy with his army, the move that would break Roman law and start a civil war. When he made his decision to move forward, he said, oh boy, your Latin's better than mine, dude.
Go ahead, no. You got it.
I've not seen any of these words before. Alia jacta est?
Yes, the est is right. You got the est right.
Yeah, well, that's because I was around in the 70s. That was funny for people older than you. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Or the die is cast, meaning, as when throwing die, that the outcome is in the hands of fate, and there's no turning back from the consequences. Another phrase with a similar meaning came out of the same event. Crossing the Rubicon, okay, which we've heard, means taking a step or an action that takes you on an irrevocable path.
Roll those dice.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about applying that one to life lately.
Uh-huh.
And that's the last one. We go into war and history next time.
Bring it on.
All right.
Bring it on. So how's your world going?
Oh, peachy. How about you?
That was a quick deflection.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
No, it's been a busy, wonderful couple of weeks. Madeline, as the listeners know that listen to the ads, great student, great athlete, great artist, great
genetic
leader.
Pool. I was waiting
great
for that part.
Genetic pool. We've talked
didn't
about that.
Didn't make the cut in the commercial. I did not quite understand that one.
Yeah, and there's this magic.
But now I do.
The die is cast. The magic of the NFHS network has made its way to most schools now. And so you have access through a subscription to watching any high school in the country. And so you have folks recruiting athlete A and watching tape just from the comfort of their home. And they're like, oh, who's this number 11?
So you don't
who's
have
this
to,
number 11?
You don't have to submit?
You don't have to submit film.
No tapes?
You can, but if they're interested, they know they can just find tape of you. You know, it's always nice to see not what was submitted, but, you know, at Santa Clara, they always laughed at the Steve Nash tape because it was just him dribbling the ball and kids falling over in Canada. It was just, you know, so it's like they like to go and watch a whole game. And so anyway, she's been getting contacts from coaches who are recruiting athlete A, and then they're seeing 11, like, oh, who's this girl? So she always thought she'd play volleyball in college, but now she's really considering basketball. So it's fun little
so
ride.
She's coming to her senses then as well. You're saying that in a non-direct way.
Yeah. Basketball.
Peaches.
Basketball.
Peachy.
Yeah, Sarah played Division I for 4 years. I enjoyed watching her play, and then she coached a little bit. And, you know, volleyball is wonderful too. So whatever she chooses, track, she could even do track. So it'll be nice to have that little element to the college experience.
Yeah, and have the flexibility to be able to do that. It's intriguing for me, and I would be curious about the kids at school. Of those that play sports and those that don't play sports.
Right.
And there's really no way, I know I'm a true outlier, not playing at high school, but playing at college. I can't imagine going to college and not.
Yeah.
Participating. I mean, the intramural thing, it's like, yeah, right. That's like playing night league and feeling like, no.
Right.
There's something special and different. I would suspect that band is the same way, choir is the same way, drama is the same way. You know, anything that's outside of the classroom setting.
Right. I think
it's that way.
It's so hard to connect when you enter into a system of 20,000, 22,000, 30,000. And if you have that community, the sports team, right, that's going to have all these systems built around it, from study hall to you get access to classes first. Right. That was a great one in Santa Clara. Yeah. Guess what? You get to choose your classes before everybody else because you got to work around your practice schedules. Right. Make sure the labs work. So that network and support, I think it does make a difference. I think that you see the success of the student athletes in the NCAA. That's part of it. You know, even, you know, some programs are getting nutrition. They're getting good food. You know, you're getting access to snacks. It's like, okay, that makes, I mean, we're at Brown and we're walking through and, here's our workout space. And then here's a whole setup. Oh, you come in a little hungry, you know, here's some food for you. Right?
Here's the kitchen cafeteria.
Yeah. Here's the
athletic facility.
Right. And so, you know, when you think of the college student, you think, hey, they're hungry. They're hungry and they're a little sleep deprived, right?
So, or the flip side.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Prima donnas and catered and they really don't know.
What they don't know.
Yeah. What life is real. But that's that elite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a thin band at the top. Yeah. That's a thin. I think a lot of our college students are, you know, making it day to day.
And every once in a while that band snaps like Coach Pitino was talking about earlier this month. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. This time of the year, I guess I still call it President Week. I don't know what it is.
President's Week, yeah. President's
okay.
Week.
Good. Glad to know something hasn't been relabeled around here.
Yeah.
as you look at this, it's obviously a demarcation point
right in
the school year. Are the kids pacing the way that you were hoping for?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're blessed with some engaged students who love it. Again, there's students on campus this week. ASB's meeting. They're doing, you know, they've got practices. They really never stop. The students really never fully stop. And
is that concerning, though?
Oh, okay. Let's
take a breath.
There's a bit of a pause that's allowed by this week. You take off some of the pressure. You know, some assignments are, you know, they're working on projects or working on papers, but you don't have to be in a desk, right, for the whole week. So that is a shift. And when as you know, sometimes it's just a shift in your routine is helpful. You know, you get to think a little differently. You get to sleep a little bit differently. You might not, you know, you might be getting naps in or whatever, recovering from, and then that allows you for that next push into Easter break, and then next thing you know, it's the summer. So, you know, it's not an accident the school year's laid out the way it is, both for the teachers, right? You want well-rested, energetic teachers, and the same with the students.
So, I think I can remember, I won't use his name, but he had a number of kids, all athletic.
Right.
And if you're multi-sport, there's not a downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the one that was closest to Stefan's age decided after high school he didn't want to play ball.
Right.
Took two years off, then wanted to get back in and realized that the river, you know, already floated downstream a little too far.
Right.
And it's kind of, obviously, it stuck with me for a number of years. My thought is to build in downtime,
mm-hmm.
you know, in between sports, instead of going from football to basketball to baseball to travel team back to football, and you just kind of keep on that hamster wheel.
Right.
Going. And obviously, there are academic parallels to that as well.
Yeah.
When is there time for kids to be kids and not do the social media, phone texting thing?
All those pieces.
But just get outside.
Right. So Matt Tomlin and the girls' basketball team have made the state playoffs. And, you know, you've got the biggest games of the year next week. Well, what's happening today? No practice. What's happening yesterday? No practice. You know, building in a break for the kids. So that, I mean, that's part. It's a coaching thing, too. And what Matt's always done really, really well is design practices that are very specific, they're focused, and they're short, right? Because you get into season, and if you've got someone that, you know, okay, you're going to have your morning lift, you're going to lift in the morning, you're going to go to class, then you're going to have your practice for 3 hours, and then you're going to have, you know, you can take up the whole day, the whole life of a kid. So I think that the bigger, to your question, it's a metaphor for life. Right, we can go as hard and as fast every single work
day. And there's still work on your desk.
I mean, there's always work on the desk,
yeah.
Right? And you can bring it home. And so that multi-sport athlete learns the grit to get through and show up, right? Showing up's 80%, so they're going to show up. But they also learn, okay, if I'm going to be successful, you know, I've got to take a step back and look at, you know, what, you know, am I getting sleep? Am I getting nutrition?
Particularly if that's overtly expressed.
Right.
By the coach, by the teacher in the classroom.
Absolutely.
By somebody.
Because
there's too many saying, keep going.
And you'll notice, you get a good night's sleep, you're so much more productive. So there's the whole burning the candle at both ends, and there's also the blowing the candle out, get some good sleep, and then go at it, and you're just more effective. So I think the metaphor for life, because again, you're gonna maybe you'll have softball league or you'll have night league basketball, as you referenced, but you're going to have, you know, playing with your kids and going and coaching more than you're going to have some sort of international career in basketball. Right?
Yeah.
Right. So even had they not stepped out of the river, at some point you're stepping out of the river, you know.
Well, that's one of the beauties. I can remember when Stefan was at Zane, and I think it was mentioned with the swim team also that Winston was part of. They did the pyramid.
Yeah.
And said, okay, X number of you are going to be able to play next year.
Right.
And the winnowing starts.
Yeah.
And then on the freshman team, and then the JV team, and then the varsity team, and then college, mm-hmm. and then and pretty soon, I mean, okay, what are you going to do with your life? It's not going to be sports.
Right.
But too often we invert that pyramid, and, you know, the Little League syndrome where the kid's an early maturer and is smoking the ball all over the place and then can't make the high school team.
Yeah.
And everybody's crushed. And they don't understand it because they've already projected out on what this kid's going to be.
And it's not uniquely American, right? It's that hope for the future, the looking in the future. And even that investment in travel and time, fundamentals, it's not wasted. It's not the idea of, okay,
no, it's memory making.
Right. Yeah. So it's a balance. So does that, you know, I had one person, whereas it was very important to him that kids never miss a practice. This is back 20 years ago. Well, one of the kids had a family reunion. It happened every 5 years. It was, everybody would go. He said, well, you can't go. You'd miss a practice. It's like, no, that's
priorities. Right. Come on, dude.
Right. So the kid walked away from the team, and I'm on the outside looking in, and I'm go, you know, that's where the priorities get, you know, hey, it's all right. You know, if your practice is that important, then you're not doing enough in your other practices. You know, yes. You know what I mean? It's like it's routine. It's
and there's probably a parallel for the classroom setting too.
Oh, and I tell new parents this all the time. Hey, a family trip is going to come up, or an opportunity is going to come up that doesn't line up with our calendar. Take the trip. The kid is going to learn more on that trip to Costa Rica than they would in class that day. You got to get out into the world. Yeah,
that day. No kidding. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. Paul, we've talked athletically. Are there parallels in the classroom setting that are similar enough that you're able to monitor what's going on, to see what's going on? Maybe not a win-loss like on the field of competition, but seeing growth and I mean, there's got to be something that's out
right.
there.
Right. I think there's a culture at St. Bernard's of stretching the kids, but not to the point of failing and not getting back up again. You know, falling down and getting back up, falling down, getting back up. So that, because we've, you know, have kids there from sixth grade, kids there from eighth grade, and you want to build in the trust that, hey, these teachers are going to take care of me. They're going to push me, they're going to challenge me, but they're going to take care of me. And so you end up not pushing kids away, but pulling them into the learning experience. And, you know, whether it's hands-on labs, lots of field trips, all these opportunities to get out and explore and learn. And that really creates that learner that wants to go out and find out more. You know, we were talking in the break about kids, you know, might do a tide pool one day and then they're back on their own doing a tide pool the next day, right? It's like, okay, you've had this opportunity and now, okay, the world's opened up a little bit. I know where the spot is. I'm going to go back on my own. You know, next thing you know, they're a marine biologist. So yeah, I think that attitude can be different in different schools. And, you know, Owens at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, I hear from other parents, you've got physics classes, you've got some of these engineering classes where the teachers are taking pride in failing half the class, like literally half the class. It's not hyperbole. And you can do that with, and the thinking there is, okay, they're all going to work hard because they know if they don't work, they're going to fail. And even in working hard, half of them are going to fail and then they'll have to take the class or change majors. And for me, that's not how you approach high school.
That doesn't sound like that's the end goal.
Right.
Just to flunk half the kids. I mean,
and again, there's nothing wrong with challenge. But as I talk to the teachers, it's about, okay, what are you learning, you know, at the end of the class? Did they meet the objective? And if not, are you reteaching the next day? Right? We can't go into the staff room and say, oh, this group can't learn. It's like, no. You know, what are we going to do differently as teachers? And it's that you want to move away from creating pressure as an administrator where a teacher has to come up with excuses, right? So my drop-ins are not how I'm going to catch this kid not, you know, they're on their phone or this person's not paying attention and you're failing as a teacher. It's more, I'm going to drop in. Oh, wow. Okay. I noticed this. And then, you know, here, get your objective up on the board. So the kids know when they come in, what they're, you know, they can start thinking about what they're going to be.
What the daily target is.
Yeah. Little things. Okay. Be a little bit more specific with your language. Support. Never. I gotcha. Right. You don't want to be that administrator that's going around where they're texting, oh, Shanahan's out with his clipboard, you know, get ready. It's, that's not the environment you want for kids or for teachers.
He's roaming the halls again.
Right. Instead, it's invitation. You know, instead I get the text, hey, this is happening today. Come on up. And again, if that is open and trust, you know, administrators trusted by teachers, teachers are and students have trust. It just, again, it's a learning environment that's pretty fun to be a part of.
I would think in certain classes, maybe not life-saving or piloting.
Okay.
But that you almost want to encourage failure periodically.
Oh, you're right.
To teach that it's survivable.
It's, yeah.
Don't strive for 100% perfection because in most scenarios, it's not attainable.
Absolutely.
So let's learn how to get up off the floor. Let's learn how to learn from what didn't work. Let's learn how to tweak and edit and adjust and play. Let's learn life.
Right. In those hands-on labs, too, you just, what did you learn when it went wrong? At what point did it go sideways? That's not the end of the conversation, right? The failure isn't the end. It's like, okay, let's look at it.
It's the reset point.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah. And maybe you were super close, but maybe you were completely, you know, you were just so far off. It's like, oh, we took a left turn right at the beginning. Notice we didn't read the second part in the procedure. Okay, maybe.
But you were so far off, you almost made it back to where you wanted to end up.
Yeah. Or you felt a sense of off the whole time. You know, so it's that listening to yourself. But you're right. You have to fail. Period. Success is built on failure.
Yeah,
you have to.
A quote I was zipping around yesterday, you know, the Edison quote, mm-hmm. you know, fail 10,000 times.
Right.
Yeah, just don't learn to love it.
Yeah. No, and it's tough when you're a teenager because you're trying to find the passion. You know, people say you'll find your passion. Find this thing you love. Well, often you've only been experienced to, you know, exposed to maybe 5, 10, 15% of what's out in the world.
How about the pressure to be perfect?
Right. Which we put on ourselves naturally anyway, right?
I mean, yeah, but now you throw on, you know, the visible and the achievement and, and pretty soon, yeah, no wonder you want to stay home on the sofa all day long.
Right. We measure ourselves constantly against other people. And with social media, you can measure yourself against people that are 3,000, 5,000, 7,000 miles away.
Or maybe who don't even exist.
Or maybe don't exist and have a whole team curating everything that they do.
I've always thought it's funny in a really warped sense way, which is, okay, I'm there. Some of these Hollywood folks, mm-hmm. but you see them, regular guy on the street.
Yeah.
No chance.
Right.
No chance to recognize them. They just look, you know, and they're also short.
They are very short.
So, yeah, I mean, you just kind of go through and you're okay, well, that guy might sort of kind of look like, you know, without the 5 hours of makeup.
Right.
And all of the special lighting and stuff, they're just regular types. But we strive and often try to emulate that fictional character or that fictional person.
Again, so yeah, understanding, recognizing that that's the case is step one, but you're still as a person, I mean, you're going to do that in your own classroom, right? You're going to do it with your friend group. You're going to do it with the team you're
on. But not to that extent.
Well, I know, but it's just, again, the lesson, though, is to hold it in your hand and look at it and be like, okay, you know, is this judgment of myself, does this make sense, right? And yeah, I'm comparing myself. Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm not as tall as I want to be. Okay. What am I going to do about it, right? I know that's
volunteering for the rack is not a good approach.
Yeah, no, you don't want to do that.
Well, and humor too. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's there was a statistic I saw decades ago that the average person doesn't laugh twice a day.
Okay.
That they don't even hit two, and that was the recommendation for stress release and okay, I got so many things I can laugh at myself about.
Right.
That I don't, you know, maybe two an hour, maybe two a half hour, maybe two a show. I mean, it's not that tough. But for some folks, they're so
tight
and so wired to be perfect, perfect,
yeah,
perfect,
yeah,
that they don't laugh, you know, at the almosts. Mm-hmm. And it's always been a curiosity for me that you get that tight.
Right. And environment and permission, right? Permission to laugh, permission to find the mistakes funny, right? That's a big deal. And
your own mistakes funny.
Your own mistakes.
Rather than laughing at the guy across the aisle, you know,
Right. And we see that, I think, again, with the trolling, you know, people trying to poke everyone in the forehead instead of looking at themselves and enjoying, you know, it's like, okay, right. It's okay to laugh. And it's great to laugh.
And cry.
We know it. Cry. Yeah. If you have access to your emotions, you're going to do okay. If you're buffering away your emotions, you're not going to go very far.
There's an explosion waiting to happen somewhere.
Yeah. And it might just be a stroke or a heart attack.
Yeah. Gee, thanks for bringing up the old medical thing. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Shanahan from St. Bernard's. I guess the way we've been talking about a lot of times is more in the high school setting, the collegial setting. Mm. Okay. To transfer that into the job market.
Right.
Afterwards. We were talking during the break. We both have kind of always been at the top of the pyramids.
Mm-hmm. So opportunity.
Yeah, what we do is kind of emulated by others rather than being the newbie coming in and pushing the pyramid.
Yeah.
That's kind of tough to do. I wonder what it's like for somebody who is as goofy as we are to get into a structured culture, process oriented, if we would survive.
Oh, I know that we would. We've both had that experience. What comes to mind for me... Sarah started law school at Seattle U, and I left the school system in Stockton, where I was very well connected to a brand new school system north of Seattle. And new guy replacing the legend. You know, so all I heard about the first 3 weeks was this legend that I was replacing. And
you take him out to lunch?
He'd already flown the coop. He was out of state. He was gone.
Gone.
It was the idea. It was his idea, right?
Okay.
And I wasn't the only one new. There had been some transition. So the principal was new. There were some new hires. But we were able to build that culture together.
The newbies?
The newbies. And part of it was how we showed up. And part of it was the amount of work we put in. And part of it was the care we had for kids. But, I mean, with that school, in very short order, was getting recognized at the state and national level. And so, yeah, absolutely, I think an individual and small group can impact culture and climate. And I think to our kids, you know, as you're talking about, okay, the high school, collegiate, and then you go into the work, you show up with yourself and your talent and that, you know, willingness to laugh. And that, you know, it makes it, you can make a difference. You got to feel like you're going to make a difference. And if you're not getting that reflected back after a while, I guess, you know, you can go work somewhere else. You know, if they're not going to appreciate that individual personality that you bring and the talent, then yeah, go work somewhere else.
It would be interesting to see how the military, because it's kind of like the opposite of that approach, and yet you still need to have independent thinking and risk embracing and.
Right.
Maybe not in boot camp.
Right.
But, you know, once you start doing whatever it is that you have selected or been selected to do.
Mm-hmm. And I think we know people have been successful. You know, it's the grit, right? It's the ability to listen. The ability to adapt, the ability to fail, persevere. You know, those same lessons we talk about in sports and in the classroom, again, in the military, again, can be life and death. And I've been blessed with family and friends that have found success in the military. And again, it's you do want to be your individual self, right? You want to be empathetic and caring and thoughtful, and you want to think about your fellow,
you don't want to lose yourself.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think... But yeah, I hear what you're saying about regimen, structure, systems. But even within systems, I think you maintain your sense of identity, right?
Yeah,
you want to be the one that makes everyone laugh. And after you do that very highly stressful thing, you know, why not be the one that's helping people laugh? or cry about what, you know, what just happened.
Is that something that the international kids understand coming in? Because so many of their cultures are so different than ours.
Yeah.
You know, the whack-a-mole, right? You don't want to stand out because you get smacked. Right.
Yeah, it's a great question. We've seen the impact of being in America help students kind of look out from themselves. One thing I've noticed over my time working with the international students, there is an investment in music. The idea that each individual should have an instrument or a talent. And I think, you know, I'll walk into school on a Sunday and I'll hear a piano being played or a violin being played. And the emotion in that piano, the emotion in the violin, you know, there's a lot of communication there. It's not the rote, you know, these are my notes, I'm going to play the notes. You can really emote a lot through music. So I think that's one element that they bring. And then I think the element we share out is just that looking out from themselves to other people.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk with them year one, month one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you got the normal maturation that, you know, kids right. will do during that period of time. But to see if perspectives change or if they don't.
Yeah.
A grasping of some of these things that we have talked about.
And there is that element of, you know, the families that chose to come west, that had that willingness to risk everything and come west. These kids that are choosing everything to leave home, comfort, and come out to America and to Eureka, California, you know, at 15, 16, 17. There is that sense of adventure, too, that they're bringing different than just, you know, your middle of the road kid.
We referenced earlier about making a wrong turn. That's exactly where I went. Oh, thanks for making the right turn this morning.
Nice. Thank you, Brian. Good to see you.
See you, everybody, tomorrow.